Log Talk Radio.
This is Monica Liel welcoming you to the LL Research radio program In the Now with Carla L. Reckert and Jim McCarty. Today is Friday, July 20th, 2012. Carla L. Reckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. Jim McCarty is Carla Reckert's husband, the scribe for the Raw Contact, and the president of LL Research. Please visit the LL Research websites, llresearch.org, home to over 1,500 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, the Law of One material, interviews, speeches, and more, and bringforth.org, that's bring the number 4th.org, our community website. I will be asking Carla questions that come from you. If you would like to ask Carla and Jim a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, that number is 646-595-2294. Or you can join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Monica Liel, and I'm talking with Carla L. Reckert and Jim McCarty of LL Research. And we have us a birthday girl. I understand you've been partying hard all week, Carla.
Happy birthday, Monica. Thank you. It's been wonderful. I always wondered how I'd feel when I turned 69. There's all kinds of dirty jokes about the number. thank heavens, by the time I turned 69, I was over being embarrassed about it, and I just enjoyed it, you know, it's kind of cute. And golly Moses, I've had like a three-day birthday celebration. Jim gave me one, which was absolutely delightful. He gave me some beautiful clothes, and, you know, there are some catalogs around, like Pyramid, and what's that other one that I found pretty things in?
Serengeti,
yeah, that have... old hippie kind of big skirts and put on sort of costumey stuff and it's so comfortable and large and drapey and it's great for me in my moods right now and the fact that I can wear this in bed and actually go to bed in most of my clothes because they're loose and they're comfortable and they're long, you know, so. He gave me some of those cope with everything dresses, and so pretty. And then today, just this afternoon, I had a friend. One friend came up from about a two-hour drive east of here. She lives near Pineville, right?
Near Perryville.
Perryville, and it takes quite a while to get here. So it's a great occasion when she's here. And a couple of other friends, too, were able to make it. And it's so neat, you know, when you've been sort of in one room for a while, which I have pretty much, except for doctor's visits, to get together with your girlfriends and feel that energy, that female energy, just building and building. And when women love each other, it's a powerful thing. And, you know, I've had decades of love building in shared experiences through meditation with these ladies, as well as the giggles of life itself and lots of fun eating together and enjoying life together. But when you have a spiritually based life, it's difficult to have a bunch of people where you get them together and they can just relax and they don't have to be spiritual. They can just enjoy a birthday. And they don't have to say anything, you know, important or anything. They just have to grin and say, "I love you, Carla." And I say, "I love you," right back.
Aww.
And that was the way that felt. I have such interesting friends. One of them especially, I think, she really should be getting much more interest in the fabrics and weaving category. She weaves beautiful, beautiful rugs for you know, mats and table rugs, and she makes things for the wall that are quite original and multimedia. She's in terms that she's not just using cloth to weave with, then she over sews it. She embroiders on it and puts items on it, or maybe makes one out of buttons or something like that. Anyway, it's just so delightful. And so she's lately has been able to open her own shop, and we were celebrating that as well. Oh, my goodness. It's good to be here tonight, too, Monica. Did you ever find session 42, question 12?
Okay, 4212. Let me look that up real quick. Why don't you tell us more about your birthday?
Well, I'll just tell you how this came about. For the last two sins, Monica has not gotten my chosen riff of the day. She doesn't know what I'm going to rant about. You know, and
okay, got it. Got it.
So that's all you need me to riff. Okay.
Okay, 4212, you said?
Over to you.
All right. Session 4212, questioner, in the last session you said that when the self is conscious to a great enough extent of the workings of the catalyst of fasting and the techniques of programming, it then may, through concentration of the will and the faculty of faith alone, cause reprogramming without the analogy of fasting, diet, or other analogous bodily complex disciplines. What are the techniques of programming which the higher self uses to ensure that the desired lessons are learned or attempted by the third density self? I am Ra. There is but one technique for this growing or nurturing of will and faith, and that is the focusing of the attention. The attention span of those you call children is considered short. The spiritual attention span of most of your peoples is that of the child. Thus, it is a matter of wishing to become able to collect one's attention and hold it upon the desired programming. This, when continued, strengthens the will. The entire activity can only occur when there exists faith that an outcome of this discipline is possible.
Thanks, Monica. I don't know what happened with that email. I think it's very interesting. We ought to note it down. There are always distractions to any attempt to serve. So I hope that you're not distracted from the question by it almost not making it. I think we just ought to rejoice that it finally made it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'll have the other question, why it didn't work, to send it over the email. Well, that's a good question. Okay. Will and faith. Faith and will. It's a Chinese puzzle. You can't really strengthen the will unless you have faith. And you can't really strengthen the faith unless you have will. So where do you start? Well, you can't start anywhere because it's a circle, a globe, say. It's a vibratory energy field. Will and faith together. Just like two atoms going together to make a molecule. And this is the substance of our maturing from an ungainly, immature spiritual seeker to a mature spiritual seeker that doesn't get caught by every breeze that blows across the metaphysical landscape. The great thing about the raw material and the world it sets up for the spiritual seeker to work with is that it does the opposite of tying you down to a definition of will or faith. And that is in the form of dogma. It simply creates a world in which this is how it works. In another place in the raw material, they say, what is it? The metaphysical world is like a door that is shut and needs to be unlocked, and the key to that door is silence. So he's talking about nothing more than reprogramming the attention, reprogramming the focusing of that attention. How long can you visualize a rose? How long can you visualize a simple shape or color? How long can you consider something that you consider vitally important to your spiritual life? This is the arena into which the spiritual seeker walks when he attempts to improve himself, when he attempts to focus his concentration on those things that he wishes to learn. How long can we do that at a time? The truth of it is, most of us can't do it very long. I mean, you ought to try it sometime. Whatever it is that you're going to do, you know, envision a rose, envision the cross. Look at yourself in the mirror and look into the eyes. I mean, these are wonderful things to do, but how long can you keep your attention on it? The simple attention is so important. So I can't say enough about valuing in yourself that energy that focuses the attention. Now, the keys to that, of course, are faith and will. The key that unlocks the door is silence. And in that silence come faith and will. If you try to consider faith and will in the midst of your busy day, you're liable to become confused. Even if you only have a half an hour or 5 minutes to focus on spiritual things, take some time at the beginning to change your attention from the world to that which is not of this world. The keys are in your hands. The energy is within you to create within yourself the person that you want to be. And wherever it is that you feel that you are not being the person you wish to be, you may well benefit from visualizing the way you want to be. The intention, you see, is everything. It's important to realize that you're the strong person here. You have the reins of power. It is within you to lift yourself up. It is within you to move into the light. And it is within you to pray for that which you wish to be, visualizing very specifically that which you wish to be. Now, if you don't know what it is that you wish to be, there is a very simple solution. You simply open yourself after clearing the mind and achieving silence within. what is it I wish to be? And let that energy rolling through you begin to give you the answer to your question. Focus on it, keep with it, and it's quite often that you do get either a question or one of those synchronicities that lets you know that's the thing, that's the connection. That happens so often. So pay attention, I guess, is the very strong suggestion of this opening riff. Now, one thing you might have gotten a little bit confused about, and that was in the first paragraph, they were talking about fasting. Well, Don had been interested in how the mind works with the body in the mind-body-spirit complex, and he was wanting to see if the mind could help the body. And they said that, yes, if there's a, you know, like a smoking that you wanted to quit, you could set your intention to quit it and then use your intention, your faith and your will, and set yourself not to smoke. Just don't do it. Don't think about it. Don't have it around. Don't do it. And, you know, for a few wonderful people, that works. I mean, for most people, you do patches and stuff, you know, to try to quit that. But I do know a person, one person that has simply quit from one day to the next, and that was my dad. When he'd been smoking two packs a day for 40 years, and his doctor said, well, you know, emphysema is not necessarily good for a person to you know, smoking, maybe it would be a good idea if you dropped that. And Dad said, okay. And the next day, he wasn't smoking. Later on in his life, the doctor said, well, you know, your heart would be in better shape if you didn't drink. And he was a martini man. And he said, okay. And then he didn't drink. I mean, I don't know how he got that kind of strength, but he had a preternatural strength. So what the Ra group was saying was that you don't have to fast if you have enough concentration of the will and a strong enough faculty of faith to cause the reprogramming. Okay. I'm done with my riff, but I'm sure there exists more. Jim?
All of this reminds me of, I guess, those Bible quotes that are said, ask and it will be answered, knock and the door will be opened,
mm-hmm.
and seek and you shall find. I think they're talking about the same quality of attention. The focused attention can direct that great energy you have within you to achieve whatever results you really, really want to achieve. That we have the ability to work with ourselves in such a way that we can become a new self, in a different self, and become what we wish to be.
Monica, what do you think?
I have two follow-up questions to that. The first one you touched upon a little bit about the first part of that question about the fasting when the self is conscious to a great enough extent of the workings of the catalyst of fasting and the techniques of programming, it then may, through concentration of the will and the faculty of faith alone, cause reprogramming without the analogy of fasting, diet, or other analogous bodily complex disciplines. I'm rereading it in case some people might have forgotten. But,
yeah, what was that?
And that was the question. I have done a lot of fasting over the years, and when I say fasting, I'm talking about usually a juice, you know, just fresh vegetable juices only,
sure.
And water, no solid food for like a week or 2 weeks at a time. And I started out doing it for physical, you know,
yeah.
cleansing and health, but it definitely enhanced my spirituality. I mean, it put me in, I would say, an altered state,
mm-hmm.
of heightened awareness and clarity. So it's funny that you chose this quote today, because this just came up on the forum last week, this conversation about, can it work both ways? I mean, if your will is strong, like you said, your dad, he just quit. I mean, wow, that's amazing. But can it also you know, obviously our intention and our thoughts and our meditation affects our physical body and our life in general and everything else, but can it work in the other direction? And I, you know, I'm just sharing my own experience. It definitely, you know, doing the fasting, definite. Of course, it took will to do it in the first place, you know, to do the fast, but it definitely heightened my awareness during that time. You know, just doing the fast did alter my mental and emotional and spiritual state. So.
Oh, that's known. That's totally accepted, Monica. And then
yeah.
Don was going, well, pushing. He always tried to push through whatever, you know, why? And he's like a little kid, you know, not satisfied. And so after, he's the one that said, okay, in the last session you said this. Now, what are the techniques of programming which the higher self uses? So, you know, he was admitting, owning up to the fact that fasting works, and I certainly know several people who fast regularly too, and in fact, it works for them. I have fasted only without desiring to, and I have fasted as long as 52 days, Jim?
Well, I remember 37.
Whoa.
It's somewhere
that's a long
in there.
Time.
It was more than 40. I remember that. I think it was 50. that Christmas time when I was down in 91. Anyway, I simply couldn't eat. It would come right straight back up. And it turned out that I had a couple, three holes in my tummy, and that got fixed. So I was, in a way, I was relieved that it came to a head, shall we say, because of the fact that then they knew how what to do. Believe it or not, right up until the day before that operation, they had been telling me it was all in my mind.
Wow.
Here I had three holes in my transverse colon. Complete stoppage. So anyway, yes, it definitely, fasting definitely works. It'll get to the body, it'll get to the mind, it will cleanse. There's something about it, it feels like taking a glass of cold water and just drinking it down. You know, that's what a day of fasting really feels like. It's especially after you're used to the fast. It'll take about 3 days to get past hunger.
Yeah.
Once you get past that hunger, which is not pretty, you have a wonderful ability to sort of float into a much more transparent universe, it seems like. Monica, how would you describe that?
Yeah, that works. What you just said.
Okay, I guess we're done with that one, huh?
Yeah, so my actual question, which I'm sorry, I didn't really state the actual question.
Oh, what was the question?
No.
And you said, can it work the other way?
Yeah, that was the first question. Yeah, that's right, I did say that. Okay, we're past that. So my other question then, my husband and I were, he does a lot of yoga, so we do read a lot of yoga books and of the Eastern philosophy, Hindu, Bhagavad Gita, writings of, you know, Yogananda and things like that, just as part of our, you know, one of the things we do. And yeah, we were, and a lot of these books, I noticed they talk about that you have to do the physical first to lead up to the spiritual. And in Hinduism, and I apologize to any Hindus out there because I'm not a Hindu, okay, and I don't really know what I'm talking about, just a little bit that I've read. But my understanding was they are saying you have to approach it from the physical in the direction of the spiritual. You have to first get control of your body, and you have to be doing your yoga and doing all these things, and then eventually you finally get to meditation, which is the opposite of my experience and the opposite of what you always talk about, Carla. So my question is, how do you think that Hinduism, I know this is getting into another topic, but why such a contrast? Do you think it's just another path, another way to go? I mean,
I think that it's based on a worldview where things are judged or deemed to be of a certain kind in a way that is forever. I mean, they're castes, are forever. Their belief is that there is much in the way of almost beggarhood that is the standard for much of this, you know, 200 plus languages in India. It's a huge country, and it has, I mean, how do you work with a country that has over 200 languages? I was talking to the guy that was the secretary and responsible for getting together law that had to do with breaking down the best three languages to make them, you know, authoritative languages, you know, accepted languages. So instead of the technique of printing it in one of the lesser-known languages, and then nobody can read it or understand it. And he was the one that told me about having over 200 languages in that continent. I hardly think you could stress more greatly the difference between an attitude where you accept that beggarhood, people living on the street, is a way of life that's good. That you know, there's a huge the feeling of fatalism. There's no feeling that is wrong. There's a feeling that is the way things have been for 1,000 years, and what's your problem, mister? And, you know, people are starting to make a difference for these people that live out behind the back of beyond and are so far away from the seats of power in India that they don't even get noticed. But finally they are getting noticed because there are people that are creating something called microeconomics, and they're lending like $200 to a woman who knows how to buy enough sheep to start carding the wool to weave the cloth to sell. And the whole village works on the weaving and the carding and the this and the that, and now we've got a whole village, you know, that's able to make money. But for the most part, it's just not considered a wonderful thing to make money. So I think that's the basis of my feeling, is that it's the value that people put on life. And the value that people put on life is a little different here than it is in India. Not that we don't both love our lives. How's that? Does that make any sense?
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Jim had something to say.
Go ahead, Jim.
I've been thinking about that for a while. I've studied a little bit of Hinduism, and I really, as you, don't know much about it, but it seems like one of the major tenets of that religion is that the material world is not that important, that really the important is the spiritual world, and the material world or the physical body is a stepping stone to reach spiritual enlightenment. So that the physical world or the physical body would be that which would be used first in fasting or in directing the disciplines of the mind in order to basically overcome the physical world or the body so that a greater realization could be had. That would be my only comment here, I guess.
Okay, well, it sounds like this could be a really big topic, and maybe we can devote a show to that sometime, because, you know, exploring the various religions, if you want to. That's just an idea that just now popped into my head, because
yeah,
I think that's
like a good one.
The bigger question for me, because I was realizing, well, there's some things that don't resonate with me when I'm, you know, hearing these things, like what you just said, Jim. But that's true of other religions as well, you know, Christianity or whatever. And it might be interesting to explore, you know, because the law of one is to be found in all the religions, but there's always some degree of distortion. So that might be interesting to.
It'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. But we do have some questions, so I want to, and we promised our listeners we would address these questions, so I'm going to go ahead and move to the questions. I'm sure they want to hear what you have to say on that. And we have several questions on the same topic having to do with the harvest and 2012. It is 2012. The first one, I'm going to go ahead and read a couple of questions because they're kind of related. The first one is from E. Bennett. Does our physical body have to die off in order to ascend to fourth density? What Ross says about this is a bit confusing for me. In the how is one to be harvested thread, there was a debate about it, and of course people are interpreting it in their own way. And then the next question, related question from Kevin. Many of us here in the forums have been discussing the nature of the upcoming in-progress harvest. I'm sure you receive many questions of this nature, but I'd like to ask some specifics that threw some of us for a loop. How will 3D and 3D hybrid bodies be phased out? Once 3D entities have missed their window, will they reincarnate on a new 3D planetary sphere, as Earth will only be 1D, 2D, 4D, and 5D? But new 3D offspring will always be on the way, thus the confusion. I'm under the impression that harvest on Earth won't be an interruption, but rather a phase out and upgrade kind of change. Patrick in the forum suggested that our next 4D incarnation may occur 100 to 700 years in the future. I would be honored to help heal this planet. I assume I will. It seems that many seekers feel haunted by these misunderstandings and gaps in clarity on this, especially with the many different viewpoints on the material. I think that perhaps shedding a little light here would put many minds to rest and help in a focus towards light work again. Thank you, Carla. You know you're our favorite channeler. Love and light from Kevin. And I think, okay, that's it. That's all the questions on the harvest.
You know, the harvest is somewhat convex. it's rounded. It's difficult to get into here. So what I'm going to do is, Jim, why don't you tackle the question from E. Bennett? Because you're so much better at saying these things in a short way than I. There's a lot of material that you have to run through. How is one to be harvested? And of course, people are harming, you know.
Well, Don specifically asked if people would have to die from the third density in order to be graduated to the fourth density, and then Ra's answer was yes. We would all go through the process of death in order to be available for the harvest, in order to walk the steps of light. That's just a natural part of the process. And as far as the third density and what I don't believe that anybody can miss the window of opportunity. Mm-hmm. I believe there's plenty of time, as we know of time, for everybody to make the harvest, to go through the process of death, to walk the steps of light, and then to be placed appropriately in the succeeding density. Ra also mentioned that the third density would only be phased out for as long as it took the new fourth density entities that make up this new fourth density population to learn the ability to shield themselves from third density vision or awareness, so that they would also take their place in what we would see, or not see actually, as the invisible or metaphysical world. So as soon as the fourth density population is able to learn the technique of shielding itself from third density sight, then the third density would again be cycled into the planet, and there would be third density entities able to incarnate upon a planet that is now first, second, third, and fourth density in total. So I think there's plenty of time for everybody, and we'll all have the opportunity to walk those steps of light.
Okay, way to go. I'd like to keep on going on that a little bit, because the steps of light, you know, some people watching may not know the Confederation's description of this moment in people's eternal lifetimes. The theory, of course, is that you have the same identity as you enter into one incarnational experience, and then take from it that which you have enjoyed and witnessed and felt and learned, and then you offer that up to the Creator and go back to your soul self. And during this, of course, you do have the physical death. But, you know, when you get, it's not, I mean, just the thought is, I mean, think about death for a minute. It may be that you don't want to die. I understand that, too. None of us wants to die. But would we want to live on past 100 in the bodies that we would likely to have by that time? It seems a little bit unthought out for people to be scared or confused about dying. But I have died once, actually, in my lifetime. I died when I was 13 because of kidney failure. And I can tell you from experience, it's nothing to fear. As a matter of fact, it's an extremely pleasant, energetic change. And my consciousness never missed a beat. I was here, and then I was there, and there was nothing in between. It just was to go into the light and to be in another world completely. And everything, your way of seeing and your way of feeling, it was all lighter and brighter and more alive. And you felt that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you've been in a black and white movie, and all of a sudden you go into this color movie house, you know, and you see all of these wonderful colors. And, you know, it's such a shame when you open your eyes and come back to the black and white world. And indeed, you know, the way the next world looks, this is indeed, you know, very pale, very, very black and white. It doesn't have the life to it. So I look forward to being in the next density. But we came here for a reason, guys, you know. People, gut it up. It's time to step up to the plate and do what we came to do. It's so wonderful that we have this incredible opportunity to be a voice of calm and serenity in a time of great chaos and confusion. That doesn't mean that you don't know what's happening. Of course you know what's happening. It means that you choose to continue to focus your eyes on non-physical energies like loving and supporting and encouraging, finding ways. There are so many ways that exist to help people. So, you know, we all can do our bit. And we all can do it just by the way we are. I mean, even before we take a step out of the house, we are serving if we have an energy to us that is light and bright and energetic with the energy of love. That's the heart of it all. Now, when you walk in this raw material, it was described that at death you move into your electrical body, the body that has all the chakras and the body that is your form maker body, and you know, it's has all the plans on how you were supposed to be before you came into this incarnation. You move back into that, and then you are checked by those who overlook these things, oversee these things, and just see, you know, how you are. You've stopped somewhere along those steps of light. Have you stopped within third density? Have you moved on into fourth density somewhere? Have you been able to retain enough of your polarity that you move into fifth density or sixth? Well, if you have, then you just go home. If you've only gotten to fourth density, then at least it'll be a splendid difference from the third density, and you'll be glad that you made it. And if you are here and are vibrating third density and you have not stopped vibrating third density, then you will be taken at the soul level to another planet that's vibrating fourth third density. And there you will be born again as a third density person and go through one of their cycles and have another test to see if you can walk the steps of light or not. People are not going to be confused or pass out or lose their way on the steps of light. The Ra group promises us that there are three separate groups that stand at the sides of those steps and make absolutely sure that the light is exactly right. That those energies come from, I think, in part, the world ahead of ours? Is it the density ahead of ours? I don't have the stuff in front of me.
Well, there are angelic presences from our own planet that are in those steps watching to see that we do not step
wrongly
or have any reason other than the intensity of the light for not moving forward.
Right.
And then
there are the ones that promise that the light is exactly accurate.
Right. What we would call the guardians or the nine that Andrea Paharich was investigating, that they take care of actually the light itself and be sure that it is emanating in the appropriate fashion. And then there are those that are from elsewhere that also oversee the process. And so we have plenty of help and plenty of assurance that we'll have every opportunity that we need to walk into the light and to go as far as we can. And by going as far as we can, then we choose our own next level or density of experience.
Nicely put. Now, the only other thing that I look and we haven't really treated is this, how will 3D and 3D hybrid bodies be phased out? It's not something that's done on a global level. When you do have to die into the physical in order to walk the steps of light, but this is not tragic. If you think about it, you're going to have to die. So it's good to know that when you do die, you get a fair shake. You don't just get tossed out to hell because you said one too many bad words or didn't respect your parents or what the heck. So is this just a matter of you're tested according to how you vibrate? And that's as simple a test as there can be. Now, what happens to the Earth when the hybrid density, hybrid 3-4 density starts not being born again, you know, where the third density, not fourth density, starts not being there? Well, of course, you're going to have a planet that really needs help for its healing. And those who are going to be incarnating will be those who graduated. The graduation's already begun. There are lots of fourth density positive wanderers that are here now. Some people call them indigo children or whatever, but these kids are those who, at the soul level, graduated from the steps of light, discovered that they were fourth density, started looking through the long menu of things they could do, you know, study, service, and they said, you know, what they wanted to do right now was to help Earth, then that's the planet, not the people, because it had needed healing so badly, and a lot of the people are very, you know, tuned to the planet, and they're feeling that the planet's pain. We have a prayer every night for the planet at 9 o'clock. You all are welcome to join us, and we pray for that to go on. So 100 years from now, how do I see it? Well, I doubt if there's going to be any third/fourth hybrid body. It'll all be fourth density bodies. But it'll be happening body by body by body. It won't be happening according to, well, it's now, you know, the 2012 winter solstice, and it's time to gather this harvest all at once, and okay, you know, these many people got saved and those people got tossed into the fire. I think it's going to happen where, as several people said on the, apparently on this debate, it's a thing that happens over time. It's a real-time situation. And it's not that, you know, you'll be taken before your time. You live as long as you're going to live and bear witness to all that you came to see and learn all you came to learn and serve all you came to serve and get it done. Get all those things done. And hopefully, you know, we live long enough that we can look back over life and say, well, this is where I wanted to be in my head, you know. And it's possible, you know, decade by decade, to look at yourself inwardly and not to judge or you know, demean yourself, but just to see how you like yourself. And I must say that I like myself better now than I did, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But it's learning to love and learning to be able to take love offerings of others. These are the two most important things that we have to learn. So hopefully before I walk those steps of light, I will have learned enough to make it into fourth density. That's my hope.
Okay, well, that sounds like some good advice. I wanted to comment a little bit on that because I see these discussions and debates raging on, and it's the most popular topic or one of them. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, everybody's, you know, it's 2012, so people are concerned. But one of the, everything what you just said really does make sense, and yet I'm also seeing the other argument, if you will. People are saying, yeah, but what about this quote and this quote? And one of the quotes that keeps coming up again and again in this ongoing discussion is from 1729. Don asks, am I to understand that the harvest is to occur in the year 2011, or will it be spread out? I am Ra. This is an approximation. We have stated we have difficulty with your time-space. This is an appropriate, probable, possible time-space nexus for harvest. Those who are not in incarnation at this time will be included in the harvest. Now, this is taken to mean, you know, hey, that sure sounds like it's an event, whether it's really 2011 or 2012 or 2013. You know, they might have been a little off on the exact time, like they said, but it does kind of make it sound like the planet at any rate would be included in the harvest. So it's a little confusing talking about planetary harvest versus personal harvest.
I agree. I think it is confusing because the planetary harvest you can set a clock to almost. And I think that winter solstice of 2012 is close. It's not the right one. At this latter date, there are a couple, three other arguments as to other dates for the end of third density. Two other kinds of readings of the Mayan literature. I think one of them is soon to be passed. It was in the summer sometime. I don't remember. I remember thinking it was close to my birthday. I don't remember when the other one is, but it's also close. It's just not the same date. Okay, that has to do with the planet. The planet vibrates, accepts light in such and such a way, and it's structured to. And this isn't physical stuff. This is non-physical light before it's been potentiated. This is the creator's energy, light energy. So let's see, Mick, what do you think? I've lost my train of thought here.
Well, you're talking about the planetary harvest versus individual harvests.
Right.
And I agree that, you know, that particular quote put alongside other quotes makes it a little confusing. And I'm not sure why exactly that was stated in that fashion, because in other places, Ra led us to believe that the harvest could be drawn out for as much as 100 to 700 years, depending upon the choices that we as people and the population on the planet make. that we have the ability to either speed up or slow down this whole process by how we choose and what we do. You know, in one place, Ra said that it was possible one fine, strong moment of inspiration to become a positively oriented planet. Was it likely? It wasn't likely, but it was ever possible. And we can't forget that possibility. So I look at the various answers that Ra gave to Don when he questioned about the harvest as giving us a leeway, a way of maintaining our free will and of being able to choose our own destiny as a planetary population. And I don't think there is a specific right answer to the question. I think anything is possible to further muddle the, the whole situation. Sorry, I can't be more clear.
The it follows the typical way of spiritual information is in that it is in a world of paradox and confusion. You know, that is the mark of spiritual information. If you start getting bamboozled and saying but how Jesus gave those parables, and that's all he gave, folks. He didn't give any orders. and you say, then, well, what does he mean by that? The seed is planted in the ground. And okay, you know, whatever you're studying, if it's spiritual material, you'll eventually end up bonking your head on the wall and going, I can't make it make sense, because it doesn't make sense. It's spiritual information. It's designed not to make sense. It's designed to threaten and finally to bring down your dependence on logic and the intellect. You can't work Ra's world with the intellect. You have got to sit down and get over yourself and find that silence that is one for everybody instead of the internal isolated silence of your own intellect. You're all alone in there with your mind. But at the state of consciousness, you are all one. It seems that lifetimes exist in order that we might discover that very thing and move towards a world that focuses on more mature spirituality. And really, I haven't seen it in the consumer republics of Europe and the United States and Canada. Everybody's buying, and we kind of identify ourselves by our outward accoutrement, you know, what kind of car we drive, and what kind of label is on our clothes and in our shoes. But that means absolutely nothing to someone who wants to know, how can I love you better? How can I serve you better? How can I be with you better? You know, you start asking that question, and that will bring you to the point of silence. It'll bring you to the point of opening that door. And I welcome you in to consciousness, because we're all in there. It's just when we awaken to it and we can work with that, that is so exciting.
Thank you for that reminder, Carla. I think that's really, really well said. And, you know, this whole topic of 2012 and the harvest, you know, obviously we're in 2012, so it's on people's minds. But there are some very, very in-depth discussions on the forum about this topic. It's in the harvest section of bringforth.org if anybody wants to go and explore this topic more and really look at the different angles intellectually. But I started to do that for a little while, and it got crazy because you've got the gradualists, and then you've got the poofers, you know. I call them the poofers. We're going to go poof. David Wilcock posted this long blog, you know, pretty much in his apparent opinion, you know, kind of proving conclusively we're going to go poof, because, you know, we're going to transmute our bodies and ascend, because 4D, you know, the Earth would be 4D, and so some people would just, you know, transmute, the bodies would just transmute. And I'm like, well, maybe, but finally, at the end of it all, I ended up not reading it. I read, like, a couple of pages of it, and then I said, you know what, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to focus on living my life and doing what I came here to do, and you know what happens, happens, and we're not going to know what happens anyway, so, you know, what's the point? So I don't know, I'm just not concerned anymore. And what you just said about what we really need to be focused on, I think that's a good reminder to maybe not fret too much about this stuff. But,
no, we just need to be working towards being our best us. You know,
we have
so much good to give and so much good to appreciate about ourselves. Just, you know, offer it to ourselves, to the world, to the Creator.
Absolutely. Okay, we just have a couple of minutes left, but we do have one question submitted in the chat room. If you might want to tackle this, if it's something we can talk about in less than 4 minutes, and if not, we may have to continue it next week. But this is from Miles Helt in the chat room. Could Carla please expand on the concepts of both the exercise of fire and the exercise of wind? They are periodically mentioned throughout the Law of One material, but I don't think are ever fully explained.
Those are exercises that Ra gave in anticipation that either Don or I or both would want to undertake the process of learning how to become healers. And for a short period of time, we did that. The exercise of fire is one which, both exercises were given in a fashion in which we were asked to keep them private until we found that there were people who were really serious about wanting to learn those skills. We only pursued them for a short period of time. And the exercise of fire is one which you internalize the energy of the sun and begin to shine it forth upon another entity who has asked you to aid in healing some sort of an affliction. And it is something that uses the infinite energy of the universe, I guess you'd say, symbolized by the sun, to pass through you as a channel. And you go through a process of visualizing the energy centers of your own body from the base to the crown chakra, and seeing the energy of the sun passing through them all and then moving out to the entity that was requesting the healing. The exercise of the wind is something in which you become the infinite universe by first visualizing yourself moving with a wind, a metaphysical wind, you might say, an energy that moves always throughout the universe, and you become able to expand yourself into this energy and achieve a greater identity, you might say, so that you're no longer confined to one physical body, but you are moving into ever larger realms of experience, so that you eventually then do become the Creator, or become the infinite universe. And these are exercises that Don and I never got too far into, because we felt that what we were doing with the raw contact itself required most of our attention, and we didn't focus past, I guess, the first year or so with these exercises, or with the attempt to become healers.
Okay, you did it. You did it, Jim. You managed to get that squeezed in. Wow, very good. Okay, we are out of time. Thank you, Carla and Jim, so much. You have been with LL Research's In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. If you've enjoyed the show, please visit llresearch.org, which is our archive website, to check out the Law of One material and other channeling transcripts. And bringforth.org, that's bring, the number 4, th.org, the community website with forums, blogs, and chat rooms. And we will be here next week, Friday, July 27th at 8:00 p.m. Eastern.